A savage. Just for. We really love humor here at this church. And now this donut is stuck in my mouth. I gotta finish it. So as you can see, feels dry. You saw earlier, two different characters, Pastor Frank and Pastor Derek, and they gave me something in exchange for the donuts. Now, it's too unreasonable, obviously, right? But you see, we're willing to give something in exchange for something at that moment. We really desperately want something. And I remember when I was little, I used to hang out with my friends, and we didn't have money. But one of our friends would have a big meal back in Thailand, back in the refugee camp. And it smelled really good, and we really wanted it, but then we couldn't do anything. But me, I would do anything to get something in return. And so I was like, well, what can I do to get a bite off that, the food you have? Well, he goes, well, I guess you can think of something. I was like, oh, well, I don't have anything, but maybe you can give me a few punches, punch me, and then I'll get something in return. So he gave me punches. He punched my arm, and then I got a bite off that meal in return. And it was funny, right? Funny childhood. We were kids. We were hungry. We were willing to do anything. But I want you to think about it really clearly here, vividly here. You see, as human beings, we tend to accommodate. We tend to give in the things we have. Maybe they are valuable a lot. Maybe not as much according to us. And we're all different, but we're willing to give up something in order to gain something in return. And sometimes, a lot of times, they end up hurting us. And not only do they end up hurting us, the way we act, our actions actually do impact other people as well. So they end up hurting each other. And so, when you sell your belongings, when you sell your possessions, all these things, you don't get a lot of value in return. In fact, you actually lose a lot of money. And so, but there are other interesting ways that people would go about doing that. And I have a story about me and my brother. I don't know if he's here. I have a story about me and my brother. When we first used to live at the apartments, he's back there, okay. 128th Street and 96, that's where the Korean people used to live. A lot of people actually used to live there. And then when we were high school kids, we didn't have money, but I only have one brother, and I'm the oldest. So he relies on me to a certain extent, he does. One day he was really hungry, and I had a bit of money in my savings account. I tried to save up as much as I could. He goes, brother, today I'm feeling kind of hungry. Would you be willing to treat me like KFC, right? He liked KFC. He likes chicken, fried chicken, right? And so I go, no. I kept refusing. And he kept insisting that I treated him. He says, oh, just once, right? I'll do anything. And it's like, no. And then he realized at the end that he couldn't do anything. And he came up with this brilliant idea. And I kid you not, he literally said it. He goes, he puts his arm around my shoulder. He goes, bro, just hear me out. You know that in the Bible, it says in Psalm 133, it says, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to live in unity, in harmony. And then from that point on, my heart melted. I'm a very solid guy. When I say no, it's a no. But then he convinced me. And I was like, oh, well, what can I do? It's biblically true. He never really preaches, but it was really a big deal. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll buy you KFC. And so we went. I treated him. So, funny story is we all have our own ways of giving in and the things that we do to gain something in return. And so I want to talk to you guys about birthrights today. Those are your birthrights from Genesis 25, 27 to 34. Now there are four things that come into mind when we think about birthrights. And birthrights mean inheritance. What do you get, right, from your parents, from your grandparents? When they die, you get a lot of possessions. And so first thing is, who am I? Which is my identity? What language do I speak? What's my nationality? What's my ethnicity? Where do I come from, and who do I belong to? My heredity. Does my life really matter? Does it really have a purpose? My dignity. Because when you don't have a purpose, when you don't have a goal in your life, you lack dignity. And so those are the open questions that we have. And the last one is, where am I headed? My destiny, which is really important. Because without really destination, without knowing where we are going, and if you want to go to the extreme, where do we go after we die? Those are the questions we wrestle with as human beings, right? We all have these open questions in our heads once in a while, and it bothers us, and it stirs up curiosity, it provokes questions. And so knowing all these things and having all these things are part of what makes up birthrights, knowing our destination, where we're heading. There are two different kinds of birthrights. First is natural and supernatural. So natural means when you were born on this earth from mother, and supernatural is pretty much being born again. And so scripture talks about how those who are in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has begun. It's a process of going through the transformational journey where a person surrenders, repents of their sins, confesses, and accepts Jesus as a personal savior. And not only that, to be continue to be obedient, and it's that part of that born again journey, the process that we go through. And so that's a really important one, and that's not only based on the things we actually experience on this earth, but it's a spiritual journey. It's just a spiritual birthright. So our inheritance is not in heaven, but it's also on this earth, because we're put on this earth as followers of Jesus Christ to continue on in his kingdom. And we get all the benefits at birthrights that we receive from Jesus Christ. However, not everyone takes birthright seriously. As we will be reading from the scripture today, some people actually turn it around and accommodate for worldly pleasures. And look around you, right? Look around you. Look at the social media. Look at the internet. Look at your work, at your school, whatever it is. What are some of the things that go on that tend to convince people, tend to draw people to closer to them, and ultimately it actually ends up ruining our relationship with God. And so we look at the story of Esau and Jacob in Genesis 25, 27 to 34. So I invite you, if you have your Bible or your phone, please turn with me to Genesis 25, 27 to 34 and read along with me. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom, and that's where we get the Edomites from. Jacob said, "Sell your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die, so what use is it a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob, who is his older brother. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Not the word despised could have negative connotation, right? Maybe he hated it. But at that particular moment, I invite you to think about it. At that particular moment, he was hungry, a bowl of stew, and he was willing to trade his birthright. So we can already see here, he's probably not valuing the birthright as much. And at that moment, he was desperate for a meal, for a bowl of stew. You see, as a firstborn of the siblings in the family, Esau, the older brother, has a lot of rights, has a lot of inheritance, and he's entitled to many things, many privileges. But he gave all those privileges for just a bowl of stew. So how many times have we accommodated? How many times have we given in the things that are just simply simple? Maybe some of the things that we trade for are unreasonable, irrelevant, and meaningless. How many times have we done that? I bet a lot of times, and even myself, I've done it too. So what privileges did he give up? Well, he gave up the privilege of being a priest, because being a firstborn son in the Old Testament, we read a lot in the Old Testament, firstborn son gets a lot of privileges, and firstborn son is set aside. We say consecrate. Consecrate means set aside, holy. And so firstborn sons were supposed to be serving God. They were supposed to be leaders, supposed to be guiding the people of Israelites. And they had a lot of respect. They were being relied on. But then the first sons, firstborn sons in a Jewish family, but for non-believers, for a non-Jewish family, some firstborn son would be sacrificed to the idols, the pagan gods. And it was just a wicked thing that people did. You know, if you read in the Old Testament, like the pagan, the foreigners and the other nations would do all these wicked things. But in a good Jewish family, a firstborn son was supposed to be serving God, and he had a lot of titles. We see that privileges, and especially in the priest, being a priest is also transferred. The power is transferred to the tribe of Levi, who is the one of the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we read in Numbers chapter 3 where the Levi gets the power, the priesthood transferred to them. So more than that, he gave up the double portion. And so first thing you got to know is about firstborn sons is that they get a portion. So if there are two brothers, Jacob and Esau, and the father Isaac, distribute the inheritance, so there will be two-thirds. And so Jacob, Esau being the oldest son, will get two-thirds of the inheritance, and then Jacob will get one-third because he's the oldest son. Esau is the oldest son. The estate included a lot of things, the promises of God. And we see in the story of Abraham, right? God tells Abraham that he will be a blessing to all the nations. And so through his actions, through everything that he's doing, that people will come and see, all the nations will come and see, know that God is active and evident in the lives of his people, and especially in Abraham, that he will be a blessing to all the nations. And so land, power, authority, and everything is given to Esau. But the problem with that is Esau at the moment, he didn't really know how important it was, how significant his birthright was. He sold it for a bowl of stew because perhaps he probably didn't get all the birthrights right away, immediately. All his brother owned was a graveyard. And so he thought, oh, maybe this, what's the point of being given a birthright if I don't see with my own eyes, if I'm not giving a land, if I'm not giving a power and authority in my family? And so all these things that are going in his head, and so, well, what's the point? And second, we move up to is who is given the privilege of power. And so we look at power and authority as in like a house. So eventually Isaac will die, the father will die, and he will be the head of the family. And so he will have to take responsibility for the family. And this, we learn that he would have to also take care of his mother as well, and his brother, because he's the oldest. And so a lot of things are being transferred to him. And his unmarried sisters, once they weren't married yet, and so like all these responsibilities are falling on him. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 17. I don't have it on here. But it says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance, his birthrights, as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Friends, Satan really wants to keep you from enjoying your birthrights. We learned earlier, all the birthrights include our identity, our heredity, our dignity, and our destiny. All these things make up our own birthrights, and you're unique in your own ways. It doesn't matter where you're from Korean state, from Germany, from wherever you are from, what nationality, all these things are actually unique part of us. And sometimes we actually do forget that when we look to compare ourselves and we look around you. We human beings, we actually tend to do that. We're inclined to compare ourselves, our shoulders with other people. Oh, maybe this person has more wealth than me. Maybe this person is better looking than me. Maybe this person is better in so many ways, and is successful in many ways. Or maybe this person has a higher education than me. And we actually tend to give in the things we want. We forget what has been given to us. And so when I'm saying enjoying your birthrights, I'm not talking about abusing your birthrights. I'm not talking about doing whatever you want. I'm talking about embracing and acknowledging the fact that God has given us all the freedom to be like him in his own image and to be obedient, and not only that, to serve him as well. So Jesus calls Satan a thief because that's what he does, right? In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief come only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it in what? Have it abundantly, to the fullest." Jesus came and did the opposite. Jesus being the firstborn of all creation, and we read in the Colossians 1:15, Jesus being the firstborn of creation, and I think he pre-existed, right? There are mixed opinions about the translation of that hymn, but regardless, Jesus was already there. He pre-existed. We learn in the New Testament that he was tempted for 40 days. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights after his baptism. And if we were to compare Jesus and Esau, I think at that moment, can you imagine? Jesus has been eating for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting, and he's hungry and he's tired. Satan comes along and tempts Jesus. One of the temptations was, well, if you're the Son of God, why did you turn this stone into bread, right? Can you imagine at that moment Jesus being like Esau, if he didn't know his birthright, if he didn't know his place as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the one who was going to bring hope, the good news to the people, he would probably have given up. He would probably have done the same thing. And guess what? It will probably change the history, right? And so, but Jesus didn't. He overcame all the temptations. So friends, Satan will do a lot of things to ruin your relationship with Jesus. He wants to confuse your identity. He wants to steal your heredity. He wants to destroy your dignity. He wants to prevent your destiny, your goal. Satan wants nothing good in your life. Maybe he will give you fame, and we see in the Hollywood. And Hollywood's got some positive and negative aspects, but truthfully speaking, I believe that a lot of people would give in a lot of things to gain fame and success. And you see in the lives of the actors and the famous people. And Pastor Frank said that a while ago. He said something about a quote. One of the actors, I wish that people could, what was the quote, Pastor Frank? I wish
all people could get everything they want, all the money, and experience everything. Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, yes. Jim Carrey said that I wish that people can get everything they want and everything they have, everything they need, success, fame, whatever, money and wealth, cars, whatever it is, and realize that it is nothing after all. And that's exactly what it is. We're willing to give everything. We're willing to give our lives in order to gain fame, success, and wealth. And I believe there's nothing wrong with wealth and fame. It's just a matter of how we do things. It's a matter of how we live our lives according to God's will. However, there is good news. There is good news. And the good news is that Jesus already came and lived a good example. He lived it out. He gave us, not only did he come as the firstborn of all creation, but he gave us hope. So listen to this verse below. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. To all who received him and who believed in his name, Jesus gave the right, which is birthright, to become children of God. These children are not born of natural heritage or human decision or desire. This rebirth comes from God. So the natural birth lasts as long as you live on this earth. How many years? 100 years? 80 years? 90 years? Whatever it is. But the spiritual gift, the spiritual right, the spiritual birthright is eternal. Amen?
Amen.
It's our destination. It's our destiny we learned earlier. It has all this our character that is found in Jesus, because we're looking to a place to belong. And I remember when Korean people first came to Canada as refugees, I remember myself when I first went to high school, I wanted to feel belong. I wanted to feel invited to a group. So I would do anything. And sometimes it wasn't always helpful because I hung out with the wrong group of people. Not that I did drugs or anything, but I hung out with a lot of people who were also bullying people, who were also swearing a lot, and I learned a lot of swearing words too back in high school. You know, I wanted to belong. Everyone wants to acceptance and belong. But the way we do it is crucial as brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus Christ. So not only did Jesus give his the right to become children of God, not only did he give us the right to become children of God, which is our birthright and which is our identity, he also calls us to be practical in his kingdom. To be practical means to serve him where we are, locally, in the community, in school, at work, wherever we are. So listen to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. I invite you also, if I don't have it on PowerPoint. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." You see, belong, right? We belong to God. "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. So, friends, we have a really wonderful creator, a wonderful Father who, through Jesus Christ, gave us hope and gave us all the privileges and the rights. And all those privileges are not based on how we live our lives on this earth. But we're called to be obedient and to serve him where we are. And so, I don't know what's wrong with the PowerPoint here. here we go. And as I conclude, I would like to invite the worship team, Cheryl's team, to come up as well. I want us to just simply pause for a moment and to reflect on this verse, First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are chosen and made holy. First and foremost, you're made holy, you're chosen. There's nothing you can do to please God. There's nothing you can do to climb the ladder and go to heaven on your own effort. It has already been done to you. It has already been given to you, which is a privilege. And so my encouragement for all of us this morning is to be patient, because Esau wasn't patient at that moment. And sometimes we do get anxious. a lot of times we do get worried. Oh, what am I going to eat tomorrow? Or when is my rent is coming up? The due date. If I don't pay my rent, I'm going to be kicked out of my house, my apartment, and then I'm probably going to be homeless. Oh, I don't have money. How am I going to pay for my bills, my car, loans, whatever it is? And I do have worries sometimes too, you know. We'll have our own worries, but please do not get anxious. Instead, be patient, unlike Esau. Because Esau, at that moment, he was desperate. Let's not get desperate, but to wait on the Lord and to ask for his wisdom and his discernment and his comfort and peace. Last one is, you are called to serve. We are called to praise him. We came out of the darkness and to praise him and to share his good news in this wonderful light, in his kingdom. So God has given us the power and authority to go forth and be ashamed to preach the good news. Isn't it beautiful that we're called to go forth into the world, right? To preach the good news. And in Matthew 28 says that declare his name and share the good news and baptize in the name, the people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So my encouragement is, let us not be like Jacob and also cause the people to stumble. Because there are two different characters right there. Esau was impatient and sold his birthright. Jacob, on the other hand, he also kind of made Esau, his brother, swear too. So let us not be the ones that cause people to stumble in their faith, in their journey of life, but instead let us build them up. Because there are a lot of things we can learn from these two characters here. Let us not be ashamed of preaching the good news, because we have a wonderful Father, a wonderful Creator to serve. And he has given the power and authority. And it's a beautiful thing that we're doing this. And so my encouragement is, continue to do what we're doing, where God puts you, at school, at work, wherever you are, in public. Do not be ashamed to preach the good news, the gospel. And if someone contradicts it, do it in a way that is respectful and in a loving way, but always be ready to give answers to the hope that you have. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us the privileges and the birthrights. Thank you for reminding us that we are your children of God. We are your creation. We are your people who you called out of darkness to serve you and to obey you. And a lot of times, sometimes we compare ourselves with the world. We compare with ourselves to the other people who might be successful, who might be wealthy, who might be educated, and everything. Now, all these things tend to worry us and bring us down, and sometimes it drags us away from having a relationship with you, God. Father, we surrender to you. Would you guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom and discernment as we continue to follow you in every day of our lives, and help us not to be ashamed of the gospel that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.